Hello and welcome to this special edition of NJBiz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanige, coming to you today from the Newark Summit, big real estate conference here in Summit. Our first guest is Adina Bio. She is the founder of Adina Bio Companies. Adina, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for stopping by.
Yes.
The origin story of your company is actually pretty fascinating. So I wanted to hear that, first of all. My understanding is you started with an IHOP restaurant. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So, and then you've grown into what now? Tell a story of it.
Yeah. So we started with an IHOP in 2007. Now we have four IHOPs. We have our signature brand that we started, Cornbread Farm to Soul.
Right.
We have four locations, and we have another concept called Brick City Vegan that we have two locations in Montclair and Newark.
Right.
So, and we also have a real estate development arm that do affordable housing development coupled with mixed use, and just trying to sort of, how do we connect local communities with developments that are happening in that neighborhood.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, these are all in and around Newark, yes?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. All in and around Newark.
Okay. So, you were out just on a panel, I believe, on mixed-use retail. And so, what was the takeaway that you think people should come away from that discussion and from this conference in generally about doing business in Newark, in and around Newark? What's it like for you?
I think for me, the one takeaway is that Newark is happening. Newark is not lacking of talent.
Okay.
Newark is not, you know, this city that's lacking in local population. Newark have all of the bones, all of the things it need to be an extremely impactful city, and which it already is. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest takeaway is that if you want to come to invest in Newark, you have to dig your heels and talk to the local community. Anything you bring in Newark, and you get your local community, that's the West Ward, the South Ward, the Central Ward, really buy in. Anything else from the outside is just gravy on top.
Okay.
So I think for me, the biggest takeaway is if you come to do business in Newark, invest in the local community. That is your secret sauce.
Okay. So what does it mean for Newark, for businesses in Newark, to have a conference like this here? And so our listeners can't see, but there's a pretty good crowd here today. It's very busy.
It's a huge conference, and I think it's only going to get bigger.
Okay.
Because Newark is the largest city in New Jersey, population-wise, and I think we have train, we have airport, we have... You are 10 minutes away from the World Trade Center, right? You have a population that's educated. You have a population that want to stay in Newark. I think, for me, those are all ingredients that make a city wonderful to do investments in.
Okay. So you're bullish on Newark. You would encourage people to come and do this. The same kind of thing you're...
I was raised in Newark.
Okay.
I do business in Newark. I'm going to continue to do business in Newark.
Okay.
For me, Newark is where it's at.
Okay. Now, I've talked to a lot of folks who run businesses in Newark, and they're very impressed and have been impressed with Mayor Baraka's administration. I'm curious as to how your relationship with the local government is and what you think of the job the mayor is doing.
I think he's been godsend.
Okay.
During the pandemic, he dug his heel in, got the understanding of what really local businesses needed.
Yeah.
He is, I always say, a feminist mayor. And what I mean by that is that he have a deep respect for women entrepreneurs.
Okay.
He has this thing that if Newark is going to get better, Newark only is going to get better by some people that are here coupled with bringing other people inside. And he's a very, very mayor. And he know the history of Newark, so he's not guessing. He know where Newark been, he know where Newark potential is, and he has a plan to take Newark forward.
Okay. All right. Now, about your company in specific, you've got a couple of projects, I believe, in the works. What's the status of those? What are you looking forward to in terms of when those are going to be ready?
So, 2020, I became the first African-American woman to be awarded an office and tax credit. That project will be in the ground next month.
Okay.
For me now, it's really how do I continue on this journey of creating really impactful, affordable housing for underserved community, for uninvested communities. So for me, that path just get really clear every day as I come to conferences like this. Because the most vulnerable, and I always say this, the next civil rights conversation of our time is going to be housing.
Okay.
Who get to develop it and who get to live where and when.
Okay.
So for me, I'm passionate about how do we have housing that don't displace people. How do we really do impactful development? Because we are designing the North of tomorrow.
Right.
So that has to be inclusive and that has to be equitable.
Okay. And is that happening? Because I mean, I've talked again to lots of folks who are worried always when you talk about redevelopment, that what they call the Brooklynification of Newark.
Yes.
So the gentrification that can force out longtime residents.
Yeah.
Are you confident that that sort of thing is not going to happen in Newark?
I think the conversation the mayor is happening. The conversation around, you know, his affordable housing initiative, the conversation, he's not reacting, he's being proactive.
Okay.
Right? So if you develop houses in Newark, you have to carve out 20% of that for affordable residents.
Right.
His aggressive push to 100% affordable housing, his cutting out the red tape to making sure that we build these houses in a very quick manner. I think if you have a mayor like that, you can rest assured that Newark is going to change, but it's not going to leave its current residents behind.
Okay. All right. And now it's interesting that you said that, because the next question I was going to ask you was whether there needs to be some sort of policy, either state level, local level, county level. Is if you could sort of wave a magic wand and bring some policy into existence that would support and encourage the building of affordable housing, what would it be?
One of the policy that I think is any housing project that have more than 55% affordable housing should be put on a fast track.
Okay.
And what does that mean by fast track? Expedited zoning hearing, expedited planning board hearing, expedited permitting process, expedite the building of affordable housing. That is what I would do.
Okay. Well, that's permitting, streamlining permitting. That's something I hear over and over again.
Streamlining permitting, streamlining the approval process, streamlining access to affordable housing.
Right.
Is that what I would use my magic wand on?
All right. Before I let you go, I'm curious as to what you think of the economy in general. What are you looking forward to in 2024? It's December now. We're getting toward the end of the year, starting to think about the future. What are you expecting? What are you planning for?
I hope the Fed can loosen up on the interest rate.
That would be good.
I really do. I think we're seeing a tightening. There's a great tightening of funding for projects.
Okay.
Interest rate are blowing out performers.
Right.
I think I would look forward to the Fed decreasing the interest rate.
Okay.
Well, at least not going up anymore.
Right. Well, I think, I wonder if they're actually going to start pulling back, but perhaps,
so.
It sounds like they've basically leveled off at this
point. Yeah. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right.
And I would also like to see more funding. More funding for women businesses, particularly Black and brown women businesses.
Okay.
I think that we have been sort of left and said, go fend for yourself. I would like to see more initiative put aside for financing women-led businesses.
Right. Access to capital.
Access
certainly
to capital
a huge problem.
Yeah. Huge one.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Adina Bayo, thank you very much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Jeff.
Thanks
to
meet you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Back to NJ Biz Conversations at the Newark Summit. Our next guest is Angelo Genova. He's the co-founder and chairman of Genova Burns here in Newark and the chair of this event. Angelo, welcome.
Yes, welcome. Welcome to me and welcome to you. Thank you.
So I wanted to start there with the event. You're the chair, you're the MC, you've had a lot to do today. How's it going?
Well, it's going great. You know, the reaction has been surprisingly good. The number of attendees has been beyond expectations. We're excited by the fact that the interest in Newark is so high that we can attract almost 1,000 people, I think, understand we're here today. So we're really happy about that.
What do you think accounts for that interest? Because, I mean, we've talked to people all day. We've gotten the sense that there is what they're telling us, that there's a sense of excitement about the city. You do business here. What do you think? What is it like doing business?
Well, I moved my law firm from the suburbs here 15 years ago at a time when law firms were moving out of Newark. And I was hoping it would stem the tide a little bit. Maybe it has. But I saw at that time with the leadership of Mayor Booker at the time that Newark showed some promise. And Mark Burson, who passed away today, a known developer here in the city, a friend and a client, encouraged me to move my law firm here. So I kind of feel like a little bit of a pioneer in the modern sense, although there are people that are me here a lot longer than me. But it always struck me that as a lawyer that the significant institutions of the legal profession are here. The federal courts, the state courts, the county government, state government offices, that so much activity is here, it makes little sense to not have a presence and a meaningful presence. So I also concluded that that's true of a lot of industries and a lot of businesses that do business in our state, whether it's the airports, the railroads, the roads, access to government, all of those things contributed to it. So today isn't so much a surprise to me. What's more of a surprise to me is that there are so many with the high level of excitement because we're coming off of COVID. There's a sense that the real estate industry is fragile right now, that interest rates are suppressing people's interest in growing or in building. But then here you have Newark, which offers promise of an opportunity. And you have virtually every major developer in the state present today, many, many professionals in the real estate community. And I think they're coming here for several reasons. One, curiosity. They really want to know what's going on. And from people that are the movers and shakers and involved in the trenches. Two, they want to create synergies and their own networking for their own purposes. And three, to see for themselves what really is happening, to look out these windows and see the new towers going up, to see behind you the reinvention of the Gateway Center, to sit in a building that was a warehouse. Jerry Gottesman years ago bought this property, had parking lots all around it, had different visions for it, and it manifested itself, and to see firsthand. So we're excited that people reacted. We're excited that people participated. We're excited that it drew this amount of registrations. And I think that it's only going to be the foundation for next year's Newark Summer to be larger, more meaningful, more exciting, with greater progress.
When you moved here 15 years ago, did people say to you, what are you doing that for? That's cool.
Well, people said, are you, they didn't say I was nuts. They just simply said that, you know, Newark, is that going to be an attractive place for your employees? Are you going to feel comfortable in Newark? Are they going to have a work day that's going to be the kind of work day they can leave the building and enjoy the benefits of the city and the streetscape? I moved my office to the north end of town on what is now Harriet Tubman Square. Across the street is the Newark Museum. Across the street is the Newark Public Library. Across the street is Audible. Across the street is the Rutgers Business School. And that area of the city is enjoying a rebirth in a lot of ways. Berkeley College is there. So the answer to the question is, was there apprehension? Yes. In the 15 years that I've been here, have there been any incidents which deter my employees, safety incidents or like, from coming in? No, there haven't been. Have they come to enjoy the fruits of what exists in Newark? Yes. The curveball that all of us has gotten thrown is this idea of hybrid work and remote work. Yeah, I'm experiencing that as much as Mars Wrigley is experiencing that, or Prudential is experiencing that. If you look at the last 10 years in Newark, you look at the investment that Prudential made in the building of its new tower. 15 years ago when I came to Newark, the Prudential Center was being built. You look at the residential towers that are being built, the role of the Performing Arts Center. These things have been meaningful. I think the mayor said it well today when he talked about his vision, which is different than other cities, which you know, some would argue is not developer community, but developer user friendly. But I would say, you know, he talks about embracing what's there and taking it and not abandoning it, but building upon it. And I think that's what his vision is. And I think people are beginning to understand it. And that's what we see in his approach to affordable housing. And no doubt the support that comes from the government, from Governor Murphy's administration, through the incentive programs and all of those things have been catalysts for what I think is a continuing renaissance of the city slow but measured, deliberate, methodical, but it's happening.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that he's at the airport around Rutgers. That whole University of Heights section, that there's a real street life there now.
Right.
I mean, he worked at Newark years ago, and when I first came back for the first time, I was amazed at what it was like.
It was an accident, real city now.
So sure. Yeah, and I went to law school here in Newark, and I remember Newark in the late 70s, and I remember going to law school here, and I knew what that area of the city was like. I remember what it was like to walk from the law school to pick up the bus in Broad Street and what was then called Washington Park, and what you had to look for and what you wanted to stay away from. And it's a whole different feeling. People are moving here. I think its biggest challenge is to develop the streetscape. And if you were listening to the program, that's been a recurring theme. Develop the streetscape. You know, you look at Down Neck, you look on Ferry Street. It's not about Newark. It's about people investing and creating the vibe. And how do you create the vibe? And I think the pedestrian bridge from Mulberry Street is going to begin to do that flow. You know, if you go to the great European cities and, you know, whether it's Rome or whatever, these are walking cities. These are cities where people move throughout it. We go from event to location to destination. And, you know, there was an era when Newark built bridges across its streets. You know, yeah, that doesn't happen now.
Right, to get people off the street.
Right.
You don't have that, which is really necessary.
Right. The bridge that's being built now is to connect communities. It's not the kind of bridge that was built decades ago, which was to get people off the street.
Well, I mean, I could hear in your voice that with people who live in Newark could care about it, really go.
Yeah. And yeah, well, I'm an outsider who moved in. I grew up in another part of New Jersey and ended up here many years ago and kind of fell in love with the area. And I hope my law firm and I hope Genova Burns and I hope our presence has continued to add to that success.
Before I let you go, just curious, what does it mean for the city to have an event like this?
You know, I'm glad you asked that question because I've been talking to a few people and I think it means a lot of things. I mean, I it's actually gone beyond my expectations. I thought on an academic substantive basis, it would be a good thing people needed to hear, get the details, get the facts of what's going on. When I walk around this room and the networking I'm seeing and the energy I'm seeing and that, oh, you really do work here or you're thinking about doing work here or how can I help you do work here? You know, what can we do together? I think it's creating a sense of collaboration that went beyond my expectations. I was very happy that the mayor was here.
Right.
And I was very happy the mayor was here to field questions. And I don't think they were all softballs, I hope. I think there was a little bit of a mixed bag. And, you know, he answered pretty thoroughly what his vision is and made good arguments for why his vision can work.
Well, I know you got work to do. I will let you get back.
Thank you. And thank you to New Jersey Biz, New Jersey's preeminent business publication that we should all read.
Thank you very much. Angela DeNova, DeNova Burnus. Thanks again. Thanks, Colin. Okay, welcome back to this special edition of NJ Biz Conversations at the Newark Summit. I've been joined by my colleague, Managing Editor Jessica Perry, and our next guest, who is Anthony Smith. He is the Executive Director of the Lincoln Park Coast Cultural District here in Newark. Anthony, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, we wanted to talk to you today because you've got an interesting project going in Lincoln Park at a historic church. I think it's the South Presbyterian? South Park Presbyterian Church, which you are turning into a multifamily residential complex.
Yes.
Project has been a long time coming. We started it in 2008, but the market crashed. And so it just hit a lot of problems with development in the city.
Okay.
We're building 70 units of housing.
Okay.
Here back in the facade, along with our permanent office space. And in the lower level, having a speakeasy or have an air community room so that we can have our emerging artists, performances, like the Blue Note.
Oh, okay.
And we also have our office currently on Wall Street within our Mitch.
Right. For listeners who aren't familiar with Newark, this is right on Broad Street. And the church itself is actually fairly distinctive looking, yes?
Yes, it is. So it's directly across from Newark Symphony Laurel.
Right.
It's at the gateway of the city of Newark, has a view off the viaduct next to the historic Blue Maker Park, which is another project that we had, but more like the $2.5 million appropriation that we got from the federal government to the National Park.
Okay.
So okay. That church is historic because Lincoln spoke there on his way to his inauguration.
Right. That is Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln. Newark is the third oldest city in the United States.
Okay.
You know, so when he was on his way, he stopped there just because of his inauguration, and the park was called Sour.
Okay.
But after Abby was there, they changed the name to Lincoln.
Okay. And that area of Newark, actually, you mentioned Symphony Hall. I spoke with Tanisha Nash Laird, who was the former CEO, and there's a lot going on down there, or there should be. How does what you're doing fit in with everything else that's going on in that district?
So we're working collectively together. So you have Mel Talia, you know, he's the president and CEO of Newark Symphony Hall. You have me, executive director there. And what we're doing, we're working in collectively together because with all the development that's happening, over 800 units of housing is going to come on board in the Lincoln Park area in the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
And that's going to change the trajectory of that community. But having Symphony Hall as an anchor institution and then right directly across the street having the church facade project, those are like a turnkey project that's going to shift the trajectory of that thing.
Okay, and where are you now with just let's start with the church facade project.
So with the church facade project, we're working our way through Canyon Boy Club.
Okay,
yeah. You know, so
so you're right in the middle of it now.
Right in the middle. Gisler was our architect.
Okay,
and they did an amazing job. Developed this global equities, and so we got the landmarks cooling. So now we're going through Canyon Boy Club. And then we're excited to hear the mayor just talk about. Because development is happening at such a pace here, they're creating a second plate of it.
Okay.
Because things need to be approved. And so we're excited about that. So we're working through that. And we're embarked to have the building done within the next 2 years.
Okay. All right. And are these market rate residences or affordable?
They're both.
Okay.
They're both market and affordable. And of course, we have the inclusionary zoning laws in our city. So anything over 30 units, 20% has to be affordable. Anyway, there's some capital stack what would aspire at other project. At least there were securing funds to hit the project. You have all those different check, but you have a check. So it's going to be a great community that has everyone living there.
Okay. And so tell me then a little bit about the park project, the $3.5 million federal appropriation to redo the park.
So I'm very, very excited about that.
Okay.
Lincoln Park, all the downtown parks would come. It's like one of the oldest parks in the city on Earth, but they're all well designed by Olmsted.
Okay.
So we did Central Park, we did Weekway Park, we did the downtown parks. And for a long time, all the brownstones, it was a passive park where the topography was about. Topography has shifted so much down there that we have to reimagine a park. We have the annual Lincoln Park Music Festival down. We just finished our 18th anniversary with tens of thousands of people come to the park. And when we went to get appropriation, Senator Cory Booker and Senator Moraes, supported us, got $8.5 million to put a permanent stage there, to change the electrical infrastructure there, put a bathroom in there. You know, the lighting and all those different things. So some of the fundamental things in order to continue to have programming there and also to have pop-up markets like they do in Bryant Park and other parks like that to increase the Wi-Fi there. We're working with Newark Alliance and Rutgers University and I invest in Newark on Wi-Fi because it has a low Wi-Fi broadband connection.
Right.
And, you know, That's why we have the digital divide down there. So it's important that to have all those things built up so that we can have an active park state that, you know, all with 700 new housing units they develop, people want to use park.
Right.
They want to be a part of the park. So for all those things. So it's actually a passion project for me.
Okay.
A legacy project to see that park the built that we are at.
Right. And as you say, that really is the gateway to downtown. For listeners who don't know, if you come off 78, it's like the first thing you see when you come
right over the viaduct. The first thing you see is Lincoln.
Right, right.
And then you see Newark Symphony Hall and all the projects that we're talking about. But it's the south end of Broad Street.
Right.
The north end is where you have in Japan had all of this. But downtown Newark is only 1 mile long.
Right.
And working with the mayor in the creation of the arts and education district, it's important that you bring the whole downtown together. And so that they can walk a bit from you.
Okay.
That's well developed.
Right. Yes, indeed. So what do you think about this event? Why is it important for you to be here? Why is it important for this to happen here in the city of Newark?
I know last year it happened in Jersey City, but right. I was glad to land here in Newark. You know why? Because we have a story to tell. There's things happening in Newark, and this is not only an opportunity for all of us to come together that's about working to build and push Newark forward, but it's also an opportunity for people to learn all the great things that's happening in Newark, why you should invest in Newark and move to Newark. Open a business in Newark, come eat in Newark. Because Newark is a beautiful city.
Very good. That's a good place to leave it. Anthony Smith, Executive Director of the Lincoln Park Coast Cultural District, thank you very much for joining me today. I hope you'll come back and give us an update at some point on when things are going.
Absolutely. I would love to.
Great. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Welcome back to the New York Summit. I'm Jeff Kanaj, Benjay Biz, my colleague, Jessica Murray, managing editor, and our next guest is Ashley Mays. She is the chief place
real estate.
Oh, hi, it's Ashley.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I wanted to ask was, what do you think of this conference? Why are you here?
It's so energizing to be here. We are so thrilled that the Newark Summit finally came to fruition. The energy is palpable, both the physical presence of folks and just the amount of energy that there is in the city.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I mean, we've talked to a few people so far. One of the main downtops and famous is he does affordable housing. I'm curious what your priorities are that you're allies right now. Be working that.
What is on top of mind for us is advancing our commercial corridors, so we can help create an arts and education district that is a 24/7 neighborhood that has amenities that are appealing for both visitors and people, new residents and Newarkers from the other wards outside of downtown.
And the Arts and Education District, obviously, you have some anchor institutions, universities, Rutgers, NJIT, So you're accepting you all. Are you here?
I'm seeing you looking closely at all.
With all of them, our corporate anchors as well, like Prudential and Audible, all have a stake in making sure that our retail corridors are thriving. So it's a collaborative effort, of course, alongside the City of Newark, Invest Newark, which is the Economic Development Agency. So it really is a collaborative effort.
And I see your website that one of your work, about Halsey Street corridor.
That's right. So we have a focus on Halsey Street. It is where many of our members are anchored. I mean, it already is informally the small business corridor and hub for downtown. What we want to do is make Halsey Street a nationally recognized destination that centers its cultural assets, like the ones that you rattled off. The fact that there is a high concentration of Black and brown businesses on Halsey Street, and it's an engine for wealth creation. And so what we're focused on is making sure that small businesses on Halsey Street are infused with the capital that they need to scale and stay while the development is happening around them. We want to make sure that small businesses that are homegrown can rise along with the development that's happening in the city.
How are you, what kind of reception is your debt? First of all, are people happy here? Are they? Is there the same kind of energy out there?
The passion that Newarkers have for their city is nothing that I've ever seen anywhere. There's a belief in the city and longstanding hope that Newark will thrive and continue to thrive. And it's really more about correcting perceptions for people who don't know Newark, and not just people outside the region, but even folks in Essex County, in New Jersey, and just elevating on all of the offerings that the downtown has to offer. So Newarkers are excited, and folks that are new to town are also really excited about what's happening.
Next question.
the warehouse site.
More, what did he get?
Please sell them on. What are you telling anybody doing with there if they need to know?
A lot of folks aren't aware of all of the cultural assets with NJPAC, with the restoration of Newark Symphony Hall, with a lot of the grassroots arts organizations that have been part of the heart and soul and political activism of the city over the decades. That's one of the things that I think is one of the most exciting is how healthy the arts community is here.
Do you get the sense that
perception? Of course, it's definitely like Lord Jesus. So, that kind of magnitude. Can you believe that? I'll say yes. Because then you can see it. You know, like that is an example if you read it. That when there's a heart again, that's the.
Yes. Yes. You know, it is slowly changing. There's the perception. The other day, we were just talking about the perception of safety. And, you know, if people would not come in droves to the hockey games if they thought that there was, you know, a safety issue. And so it is slowly changing. My previous gig to the role I'm in now, I was at the Brooklyn Navy Yard. And I actually see some of those same companies that were at the yard coming to Newark and because seeing the energy, the excitement that folks have for Newark, for Brooklyn the same year. Not that we want to, you know, we're trying to be anything else, but I think it is indicative of the fact that we're, you know,
be nice. You look wide, it's like you're doing it. So if you say that, I hope you'll will get some data.
I would love to. Thanks for having me. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Welcome back to NJBiz Conversations at the Newark Summit. I'm Jeff Kanige. I'm here now. Our next guest is Calvin Suter. He is the founding partner of Suter, Shabazz & Woolridge Law Group. Calvin, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming, and I appreciate you stopping by. Let's start with today's event. What do you think? How did it go? What are your thoughts about what's going on here?
Well, I think this is amazing. I think the summit's attendance speaks to the viability of Newark as a great place to come and do business.
Okay. And you do business here.
Yes.
Tell us, sell Newark to someone who's thinking about maybe I hear a lot of good things happening in Newark. A lot of stuff going on. Maybe it's a place for me.
Born and raised here. And over the years, you see the starts and stops of development. But I think one thing that's been consistent throughout my 40 plus years on this earth is that folks have always seen a potential here.
Okay.
The difference between now and what I think we've seen in over some of our other starts and stops is that people are starting to realize that potential.
Okay.
Right. So you have big buildings that have been built. You have a lot in the pipeline. So I don't think we've ever been in a place where we've had over 15,000 units in a pipeline to be developed. Many of those actually in the ground. I don't think we've ever seen as many cranes in the sky in Newark as we have currently.
Mm-hmm.
And the interest from all around the world in doing business here is incredible, right? We have South African companies that have come to NORC to do business, the companies from Germany here, companies from Australia here, looking to do business. And I think that speaks volumes to what we have here.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the pipeline. You're involved with some of that construction, some really impressive looking buildings that were at least planned. What's the status of those? How have you found the process of getting those going?
Well, I think like any project, there's the day everyone sees the photo, you get the initial approvals, and understanding that that's kind of step one,
right?
Not step one for the developer, but for the community and knowing what that project is. Many of the projects have now reached the point of getting permits.
Okay.
So what we all refer to as the Bear Stadium project.
Mm-hmm.
That is a project that would be in the ground today, but for negotiating with the city to put public safety space within the property, right?
Okay.
So they're now considering a fire station as a part of that development. So it requires you to take a step back and revisit how it all flows. The Arc Tower. I got the permit application to my office today, so I'm here. So we'll be submitting those before the close of business today.
Okay.
And we've already submitted permits for the IDT building's demolition. So I think all in all, we're going to see a lot of things moving. Those who have been leveraged well, I think will do well in this market. And then there's the obvious reality of the financial market being what it is. So those who are less leveraged, less well leveraged, will have to go and find partners and things like that in order to get into the ground. But the larger projects, I'm seeing them moving towards construction within the next year.
Okay. Well, that was sort of one of my questions was how has the rising interest rates, this kind of environment, is that causing anybody to pull back, or are developers able to deal with that at this point?
I think it's a combination of things. So I think developers are able to deal with it if they were well leveraged.
Okay.
What we've learned is negotiating with the city and the state, we're able to find what is now, you know, a decent amount of gap funding. So when we were at the 3% and 4% interest rates, and now we're, you know, 8%, 9%, and, you know, as high as 12% in some spaces, that delta that is missing there, we've been able to go back and visit some of our financial stack through relationships with the city and the state. You know, the Aspire program has been very helpful as they revisited that on multiple occasions, revisiting the cost of the affordable housing and how we're able to get the city to contribute to the deal, whether it's through redevelopment area bonds or things like that on the affordable housing side. Those have all helped fill the gap.
Okay. Now, you mentioned dealing with the city and the state. When I talk to developers, I hear that all the time. Permitting is such a difficult problem. First of all, I'm curious what your experience has been in working with the city on permitting. The mayor's administration certainly has its ideas about what development should look like. What is it like working with the government? At first, let's start with the city level.
I mean, I have a great relationship with the city. And, I think in that, going in and dealing with people, whether it's in the permitting process or any process, dealing with people is a interesting feat in and of itself, right? So you got to build relationships with folks. You go down, you got to be nice to folks, right? I've been to the building department and seen folks come in and argue with folks whose job it is to make sure that, you know, every box is checked.
Right.
So you kind of just need to know the process. And once you know the process and the people, you know, I don't think it's that difficult of a process to enter.
Okay. And do you deal much with the state at this point?
I do.
Okay. And how is that? I mean, again, well, I hear it all the time. The permitting with the state level, that they're understaffed. It's very difficult to get things.
What I would say is that's development.
Okay.
Right. You have to understand development. You don't.
Yeah.
You all these big developments that go across the state or any state and anywhere you go. If it was easy, everyone would do it.
Right.
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 So the struggle that is development, right? So, you know, my experience with the state is when I need to call HMFA, there's somebody ready and available to help us. If I need to go to the EDA, in fact, on two projects, the EDA has called my office to meet with my clients.
Okay.
So I find that working with the government is pleasurable for me. I've fortunately been able to navigate the process with my clients. But I think like in a lot of places, places, if you think you can just fill out an application, drop it on someone's desk, walk away, and that it'll be processed in 15 minutes, that's just not, you have a lack of understanding of what developers did.
Now, you said you're from Newark. I'm guessing that your ties to the area must really work in your favor as you're doing your work. I mean, you know the city, you know the players, you know the history, you know what's...
Yeah, I think the difference between myself and some other lawyers, because there's a lot of great lawyers to do business here in the city, is that when it comes to the community, I'm a little bit more tapped in.
Okay.
So, you know, when we go to do big projects, I already know what community groups are in the area. You know, I know the three or four folks in that neighborhood who are more outspoken than in others. And it behooves us to just go have a conversation.
Okay.
So we start there, and that has helped us really ease the process, because those would oftentimes be the individuals who would go into the city and try to slow down the project so that they could get better understanding. Once they know what benefits there are for the community, it's usually a much easier process. You know, we just got the approvals on the IDT buildings, you know, four 40 plus story towers, the renovation of a quasi historic building. We had one objective. It was almost unheard of, the project in Nord. And it really came down to the developer being open enough to have multiple conversations with the community, right? And we knew the objective.
Okay.
We knew what his concern was, right? We did everything that we could to address it. But when we realized there were just certain parts of the project that we would not be able to address with that person, you know, and we agreed to disagree.
Okay. All right. So what is the biggest challenge? I mean, to working in Newark, to being a developer here, what would you tell clients they better be ready for when they come here?
I think they, more so than other communities, you should be ready to deal with the community at the hands-off. And if you want to take a hands-off approach with the community, you're going to spend a lot of time in City Hall if you try to figure it out.
Right.
Because the community could be your biggest ally, right? Or your greatest foe.
Okay. And it's almost the new year. What are you expecting in 2024? What are you planning for next year? Just in general, in terms of the overall economy, development situation, the environment, business, yeah, economy, business environment.
We're wondering what the financial situation is going to be in 2024.
Okay.
I think that's a real concern just in real estate across the globe right now. But I'm really, personally, I'm looking forward to the fact that many of the projects that I've worked on earlier in my career will have ribbon cuttings in the next 6 months.
Okay.
So I'm really looking forward to walking into some of the buildings. There's going to be some demolition of some properties and a few more cranes going in the sky.
Okay.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing some really big environment changing projects beginning here in the city of North, right? I have full faith that the Riverfront Stadium project is going to be in.
Okay.
In the next couple of months, and right down the street from it, we'll have two other 40-story buildings beginning. We should have the conclusion of Tower 1 on the Halo project, with a grand opening of that tower at some point in late 2024. So I think that's going to be really exciting. So that's what I'm looking for, the coming to fruition, some of these things that we've been talking about, so we can get from everyone having a conversation about what's been approved to, you know, folks walking into buildings and the largesse of what that brings to the city.
Okay. Well, I hope we can have that conversation at some point next year. That'd be great. All right. Kalman Suter, founding partner of Suter, Shabazz & Woolridge. Thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for stopping by.
Absolutely.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanige. We are continuing our coverage of the Newark Summit with Adam Pasternak. He is the president of property management at Russo Development. Adam, welcome.
Hi, welcome. Thank you.
You were part of the Newark Summit, a fairly large gathering December 4th of real estate professionals and other interested folks. You were on a multifamily residential panel. There was a lot of talk about housing at the summit from the developers and lots of people that I talked to. I'm curious, given that, what do you hope most of the attendees took away from the discussion that you were involved in?
Sure. I mean, the discussion about housing is always, you know, kind of instrumental, right, to for a city, right? There's like certain components, and housing is certainly one of them. You know, with Newark, that's you know, obviously, but you know, a city that continues to rise, it's that housing component that we think there's still a lot of opportunity, you know, in the city. And I think as more projects come online, you know, like that, it will only enhance the city, what the city has to offer, really, for businesses, for, you know, their arts, for you know, obviously retail business and you know, for other commercial businesses. So, you know, I was asked to speak where we just launched our first project in Newark. Russo Development, you know, has an apartment brand called Vermella. Vermella is about 5,000 units now across northern New Jersey. And we've been circling Newark for years. We have a project in Kearney's, you know, Harrison. We just finished leasing, you know, another project in Orange. So truly kind of, you know, having our arms wrapped around Newark. So we're excited to finally have gotten started in Newark. We started leasing last month. And while, you know, there's still a long ways to go, we're starting to see, we definitely seeing like a positive start there. And, you know, excited to be in Newark. I think there's a lot to offer. So.
All right. Well, what made you finally take the leap? And, you know, you said, you mentioned all the sort of circling around, you finally got in there. What convinced you that that this was the right time to do that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a lot of it's opportunity. And we had a great opportunity at a project. We partnered with Eli Dweck and his group on a piece of land just on the other side of 280 from the Broad Street station. So we loved, you know, the opportunity, the land site there. And yes, that's a big component of it. But we also feel like Newark has a lot to offer too. And, you know, we're, you know, it's just was probably more of a matter of time. We've been looking at projects for years. And this is right in our wheelhouse, not only with our apartment brand, but our company is based in northern New Jersey. You know, it makes a lot of sense for what we do and for our brand.
Okay. Now, when I was talking to the participants at the Real Estate Summit, there was a lot of optimism and people would gesture at the windows. I mean, you saw the space and see everything that's going on out there, new construction, new housing. And there was a lot of optimism and a sense that Newark was a hot market. Is that assessment realistic as far as you're concerned? I mean, what is the market in Newark like these days?
Well, we certainly hope so. I mean, like I said, we're a little early in our project, but we had a, you know, a huge investment, you know, in that project, in the city. And, you know, so we do think it, you know, is a bright future. I mean, you can't beat like its location, its transportation infrastructure that's already in place, you know, growing business, you know, like, you know, McKinsey's coming into the market. I think that was discussed yesterday. So, you know, the elements are all there. I just think, you know, more projects need to, you know, get approved and move forward. And we're excited about that. You know, and you'd think it's competition for us, but you know what? I think all the, you know, more multifamily, like, you know, class A residential that's being built, it'll kind of lift, you know, all ships.
Right. Well, that's what I'm thinking too, is that you got to have people to support the economy. And if people aren't living there and shopping there and working there and doing those kinds of things, then you're never going to get anywhere. So there is some cause for optimism based on what you're seeing.
Yeah. I mean, there's a number of new projects that have, you know, been built in over the last just 18 months. So we're one of them. And, you know, I think, you know, we do feel like you need to bring people, you know, I think for some time, you know, while, you know, they were building up, you know, like with companies like Audible and Rutgers taking a bigger position, you know, there, a lot of the resident base, at least this was perceived. I mean, I can't speak to it because we're new to the market, but it's perceived that people would work there and then leave. So we want to keep them, you know, in Newark. You know, obviously it's a boon for the entire city, for, you know, for all the businesses there. You know, I think we've seen like that in other markets. I mean, I know, you know, I could speak for Russo. We developed in Harrison, south of the PATH station, you know, well before, you know, a couple other projects. And, you know, it's that area has grown up, and yes, there's more businesses. You know, we have retail like on, you know, on site in Harrison, and that took a little while to get going. But now that there's like really like a, you know, more density and there's a real population base, those retail units have leased up, then, you know, I think we're seeing more of that too. So, no reason not to think that Newark.
Well, that's right across the river from Newark. So
and we're seeing a lot of traffic from Harrison and Kearney and, you know, to our project already. So, you know, I think people, there's a renter base, and, you know, if you give them more options, they'll explore it. And, you know, we think what we developed meets what people want, and, sure, you know, we'll see.
Okay. What I did hear, though, a discouraging word is the cost of borrowing, for one thing, and the difficulties in permitting. Are those the biggest challenges? Are those the biggest barriers those aren't unique to Newark, but but I imagine that in some cases those kinds of problems may be exacerbated.
Yeah, you know, as far as borrowing, you know, we're seeing that across, you know, all markets, you're seeing it across the country. You know, it's a shame because there was really good momentum, you know, in Newark and everywhere, really. But financing's, you know, going to be really challenging. And you know, we're already underway and we're moving forward. So for us, you know, as I said earlier on, like, I think more projects being developed would benefit us. Okay. But we may see a little bit of a lull just because of those challenges. Now, you know, unfortunately, permitting and, you know, entitlements going through the town, you know, with every town, you could always be improved. You know, we've been working really closely with Allison Ladd as the deputy mayor, and she's done a great job and kind of pushing through what I know we needed for our project. And I've heard similar things from other developers too. So that's a positive. It sounds like the city's in a good place to really kind of not be in any way a hindrance or roadblock. So.
That's certainly the mayor doesn't want to be that. So I get the sense that he's trying to do this carefully, but he really does want to encourage growth in the city.
Yeah, which is great. No.
Okay. So what is there something that either the Mayor Baraka's administration or the state government should do to make it easier to do these kinds of things? Is there some sort of policy change that might change the dynamic?
Yeah, you know, it's not. I'm not really, to be honest, I'm not involved on that end for Russo. I'm more on the operations side. But, you know, I know that sounds like they're trying, right? So everything I had heard, you know, was positive towards the city. And, you know, I think like anything else with more experience and you know, this is a different type of development maybe that they've seen in a while. So, you know, sounds like they understand it, and that's important. So, I don't think I can comment on anything specific because not only did I not live in it when we were getting ourselves entitled, but it sounds like they're
understood. Fair enough. I'm curious then though, just to get your view of what 2024 looks like. Are you confident that Northern New Jersey, the state, is going to continue to grow? What are you expecting? What are you planning for?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're planning for, business growth and kind of, you know, residential apartments being absorbed are kind of two different things. So, you know, I'll speak to probably a little bit more what I know, which is,
sure,
you know, residential, like, you know, apartment absorption. And, you know, we don't see any of the fundamentals really changing on the rent side. So, you know, we think there's room for more units in Newark specifically and in Northern New Jersey. And, you know, we're pretty confident in what we are bringing to the market, whether it's Newark or anywhere in North Jersey. We have other projects, you know, going on as well. So we're pretty feeling bullish about that. You know, the fundamentals and rentals seem to, you know, are going to stay, you know, pretty consistent. You know, interest rates are still very high. You know, single family home market, you know, doesn't really offer, you know, an alternative, especially to like the demographics that are a younger professional demographic that, you know, in Newark or in more urban areas. So it's harder to like kind of, you know, whether it's a combination of people not, you know, expounding to single family ownership, but also, you know, the interest rate market and the availability of single family homes. It is in the favor of the residential developers.
Okay. All right. Finally, before I let you go, I'm curious what you thought of the Newark Summit itself. It looked like they had a pretty decent turnout. Was it a useful event as far as you're concerned?
Oh, yeah. I thought that had a great turnout. You know, we spoke at the 4 o'clock panel. And as you know, with some of these conferences, by like as the day gets longer, you know, it starts to thin out. And actually, we had a really, really good crowd, you know, for our panel, the last panel.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of questions were being asked as well. So I think everybody was engaged, and it was great to hear from the city, you know, and then, you know, people that are doing business and are very active in the city, too. So they did a good job lining up like the right people to really kind of speak to what's happening.
Okay. Well, and it sounds like they're planning on another one next year. So perhaps we'll catch up there. And I hope you'll come back at some point and give us an update on what the project in Newark and around the states are. How are you?
Yeah. No, Jeff, we'd love to, you know, give you updates as we are, you know, through our lease up. So hopefully we'll stay close and you can follow our project, successful project, right?
Yes. Thanks. Thank you very much. Adam Pasternak, President, Property Management at Russo Development. Thanks for joining me. I really appreciate you taking the time.
No, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.
Bye-bye.